This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rukun pertama, makhluk berkaki dua, musuh hayawan belaka.
Rukun kedua, makhluk berkaki empat, saudara dan sahabat.
Rukun ketiga,
semua hayawan larang berpakaian.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last year, Omar Ali and his father, Tan Sri Muhammad Ali Hashim, were here in an animated discussion on their father and son collaboration. But actually, Omar is the son. Huh? Translating none other than Shakespeare's Macbeth into Bahasa Malaysia. Omar, the son, is back again, but unfortunately without his engaging father, who nonetheless was engaged translating the new work, Kandang, based on George Orwell's Animal Farm. Omar is here instead with a member of the cast, Jo Chin, on whose shoulders rests the need to be animated and engaging as Tan Sri Muhammad Ali Hashim. So he's not here, but he's here.
That's it.
Why isn't he here?
Oh, he's, you know, he's engaged in a couple of things.
He's too engaged.
Yeah, yeah. He's engaging and too engaged in a couple of things at the moment. Yeah.
Tell him we miss him.
I will. And he asked me to send his regards to you, Soon Heng, personally, and to, I suppose, everyone else in the world.
Yeah. I usually leave discussion of a production to the second half of the interview because I like people to find out about, you know, what's going on in the lives of the guests.
Oh, yeah?
And Joe is first time here.
Where? BFM?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He's not sure where here is.
Where here is, yeah. That's an existential
question. That's another play.
That's another play.
Where is here?
I like that. That's a good question.
There have been several adaptations of this play. So where did you start yours with?
Oh, well, to be frank with you, from the book itself.
The novel?
The novel, yeah. Our adaptation is straight from the novel. We did have references to, like, 1985, I think...
1985?
No. Peter Hall's 1985 script, which is, I think is a musical, I think, if I'm
yes,
not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah. So we had some references to that, but because it's a different genre, it's basically just we use it as a reference, for some scenes, I suppose. The bulk of it is straight from the novel itself, yeah.
Because I assume translating Macbeth was simpler in the sense that you have Shakespeare's words and it's a play already. Taking a novel, it's not just a matter of translating the language. You have on top of that the task of adapting it and deciding what scenes to create, who comes in when, and the whole choreography of movement.
Yeah, the logistics of actors. That was the most challenging part, I suppose. Because, I mean, yes, you're right, exactly that. I mean, some people make the assumption that it's a lot easier to do Animal Farm, but it's actually the opposite. I mean, for the very reasons that you said yourself. Because we, you know, not only do we have to translate the language, we also have to translate the narrative, basically, you know, and which is very descriptive, you know. I mean, as novels are, as books are, you know, it's descriptive language. and so we have to adapt that to things that are happening, to actions, to things that are done on stage. So that would
and you have to decide what leave out and what keep.
Yes.
And sometimes you can describe an action which you will not have any dialogue in the book, that is. Then you have to somehow recreate that on stage.
Yes, exactly. To choreograph that, yeah. And that was especially challenging. I mean, now that we're in rehearsal, it works because, you know, we got people to try things out. But during the writing process, it is really just imagining, you know, and trying to imagine something and just, you know, writing down the stage directions for that. And that was quite difficult in that sense. And like you said as well, certain things to leave out as well. That was the most challenging part of this adaptation process.
How long ago did you start on? Did you and your father start on this?
Okay, we intended to start last year, but we finally really got down to it in February this year. Yeah, which is quite late. But I would like to think that there is something more animalistic about this adaptation as compared to Dato' Sri, because I think some of the things that we learned, or I learned personally from my experiences last year, because Dato' Sri, we spent a lot of time for Dato' Sri. It's about, I think we took 6 months arts to really adapt, to translate, adapt, and polish it. And what I found was because I was part of that process, when I had to, you know, switch to my director's hat, it was a bit more difficult in the sense that, for me personally, you know, there were a lot of things that I became a bit too precious for me. Like, I worked on, you know, we worked on it very, you know, hard and stuff like that. So it
was... You know what the counsel is, right? Kill your darlings.
Exactly. Kill your darling. So that's one of the great lessons, I think, I would like to think that I've learned and that we've learned from Dato' Sri. And so the process is a lot more different this time around. So when we sort of said, okay, this is it. This is our final draft. This is stage ready. When we actually said that this time around, we left a lot of things very open still. Very open to, as in, you know, to suit the actor's own mastery of the language or their own style.
Did you change some of the language?
Oh, quite.
Based on, yeah.
Quite a bit. From the script into and onto the our rehearsal process, I would say quite a bit. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
And there were certain things that, I think certain expressions that work better depending on the individual actor's own way of saying, own way of speaking.
Joe, is the language difficult?
In a way, because it's sort of a bit like bahasa orang lama, old-fashioned a little bit. So it's not...
Oh, so you kept some of that feel from...
Yes, from Dato' Sri. Too much that it's not as flowery, say. It's not as flowery as Dato' Sri. Nowhere near as flowery as Dato' Sri, which is actually a challenge in itself. But yeah, the, sort of like the old style. We're sort of playing with the old style kind of Malay, like 50s, 60s.
Why is it? Why did you choose that language, especially when this is a play that's supposed to be quite modern, quite contemporary? I can understand when you translated Macbeth, you kept that feel, you know, because of Shakespeare's very poetic and lyrical language.
Yeah. Well, I would say that it is actually very different. To be clear, it's very different from Dato' Sri. Because Dato' Sri, like you said yourself, we wanted to you know, maintain that integrity, you know, the beauty of the poetry of his
and
language.
And the feel.
And the feel of it. But this time around, you know, what we intended to do, and basically we wanted to try something different, right? But not too different. In a way, The language is actually a lot more modern in that sense. It's a lot more contemporary. I mean, in terms of the way they speak.
For Joe.
but I think what he meant is the style.
Yeah.
Simple
what he meant.
Like,
you know what he means.
Where is here? What is here? That is the question.
Interestingly, it works. And it feels like it fits very well. And the whole thing, it's not strictly old-fashioned. It mixes up with our modern vernacular and all that. So it's a very interesting and wonderful amalgam of all that. It's old-fashioned language with how we actually speak right now in modern-day Malaysia.
Wow. I mean, when you said Dato' Sri, it felt contemporary in the sense that it was like maybe an earlier Malaya.
Yeah, about 50s, 60s, yes.
Yeah. What about this one? Do we have a sense of when?
Yeah, that's exactly what he means, that it's sort of older Malay language. It's not the flowery, poetic Malay
court
language. Court Malay. It is contemporary Malay with, you know, contemporary, like, as you say, with that sort of style, that sort of 50s, 60s. We don't necessarily set the time frame, but if we, you know, if you ask me, it's about the same time and era as Dato' Sri as well, actually, about 50s, 60s.
But and people who belong like to that. The farm.
But people,
as opposed to the
animals,
court.
Yes, animals that belong to the farm. And in fact, there are a lot of like made-up words that we use. Because I think, you know, reading Orwell's novel, it's, you know, there's a certain fun to it. There's a certain, like, you know, one of the things that we loved about it is this sort of idealism of the animals, right? Almost like this childlike wonder. How we've translated that, you know, one of the ways that we do that is sometimes the animals would say words or use expressions that are not necessarily accurate to what it really means.
Give me an example.
Okay, an easy example. An easy example is more of a pronunciation thing. Like they would say sudara, because comrades, you know. So in like how they would say comrades. So in translate to our language, to Bahasa, we use sudara. So instead
not
of
saudara.
Yeah, exactly. Not saudara, but sudara. Yeah, with that style, you know, and taking some, you know, some of the sounds of
what the does Nusantara. That do though? Why sudara? Is it pronounced like this today? Amongst young
people. No. I mean, we don't even use it. I don't. It's bro,
yeah? It's bro.
Actually quite uncommon for people to use that. But one of the things that, why we wanted to do that is because the usage, I mean, like, for example, I think Sukarno, if I'm not mistaken, used sodara. Yeah, so it's saudara, but it's because of the way it's spoken, it sounds like sudara. My father noted that, what I found interesting was that it's it was used for both male and female. So it was gender neutral term, sudara. So it doesn't have to be saudara-saudari. So it's sudara and things like that. And then there are other expressions, I think, that I can't recall right now. That is basically, it's used in a way. And then there are terms like gading, you know, for example, you know, as the intellectual, you know. We've sort of added this intellectual snobbery to squealer from the original to gading.
And squealer, in the context of the novel,
yes,
is a pig who functions as a communications officer.
Yes, is it? Communications officer.
Minister of communications.
Yeah,
who's the language is double speak, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. He's the mouthpiece of Napoleon.
Nothing he says is true.
And everything is true at the same time. What is here?
Well, you're exactly picking up on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're moving right along, but we need to go away for a station identification. I'm speaking with one half of a father and son translation service that takes English language plays and turns them into BM language ones. And in the studio is Omar Ali minus his father, Tan Sri Muhammad Ali Hashim. I tell you, he's present regardless. And Omar is here with Joe Chin, a member of the cast. Coming up, more about the production, Kandang. This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Semua haiwan dilarang tidur atas katil.
Rukun kelima. Semua haiwan dilarang minum arak.
Rukun keenam. Semua haiwan dilarang bunuh haiwan lain.
Rukun ketujuh. Semua haiwan
sama cita, sama rasa, sama rasa.
Sama cita, sama rasa, sama rasa.
You're tuned to Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, speaking with Omar Ali and Joe Chin, both from the production Kandang, which will open on August 10th. Now, we've been talking about the language of it. I assume when you were translating, when you and your father were translating Macbeth, in a way, after reading the play, you can have your discussion. You know, you can both work together at the same time, but not on the same passages. Like, okay, you take act one, he'll take act five, and you until you meet in the middle. Once you have that done, you look at it, and then you can decide what you want to do. But in this one, I suspect it becomes a little bit more difficult. So how do you go about doing it?
We started off with with sort of a roadmap. You know, let's have a roadmap of what we're going to do and which parts, you know, who's going to handle and what and things like that. But as roadmaps go, you never really stick to it. But I think that's part of the, you know, it's a good
kind of like Waze, right?
Kind of like Waze. Sometimes, yes, okay, yeah. But which is a good thing because you adapt to the situation of the traffic, right? Exactly. So this time around, there was a lot more. Oh, you know, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, we're also choosing like what to leave in and what to leave out. And that process was, you know, it's a lot of argument over dinner, a lot of argument over everything. But it's a test of patience, and I'm sure it has increased my skill of negotiation.
I thought you were about to say it's increased my appreciation for my father.
And that too, definitely. His patience, especially with me, sometimes I find amazing. And, you know, his understanding of, you know, how sometimes, as a young person, you know, young blood, want to do this, want to say that. But my father will be the, calm down, relax, there's a time for
switch
that.
Switch of roles.
Yes, actually, yes, that's true. Switch of roles. I think I'm more on fire for this one. Yeah, yes.
When you say you're more on fire, why is this play being done?
Why is it being done?
What's interesting, you know, once Trump took office.
Interesting you said that.
George Orwell's play suddenly, 1984, yes, this one, both have suddenly been given new importance.
Yeah, and we were very happy about that because we planned to do Animal Farm before Trump. Yeah, before Trump. So when Trump came in and then suddenly 1984 shot back up and we were like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And it's interesting that you mentioned Trump because you know how...
It's not actually about Trump at all. It's about oppressive governments that are censoring and coming up with double speak, not telling truth.
Yeah, and ways ways of how these governments from whatever side of the globe and how they deal with dissent. And what's interesting, like I said, when you mentioned Trump, is that, you know, as Animal Farm, the original Animal Farm was this allegorical novella, satire, really, about... I mean, he said Stalin. It himself about Stalin, you know, specifically the Russian Revolution of 1917 and then into the USSR, Russia under Soviet rule, specifically under Joseph Stalin. It's a commentary on that. And it's I found it very interesting because in some ways, Kandang is also a commentary on, I suppose, governments everywhere and specifically America at this time as well. So I found that quite interesting, that parallel. Yeah.
I mean, when it was written, they say it was Stalin and Trotsky, if I'm not mistaken.
Trotsky, yeah.
Yeah, were both
Lenin,
in
Marx.
They informed the play. What happened to them informs the play, and that Stalin took over.
Yes.
The other guy got blamed for everything.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. And like how, you know, in the original Animal Farm, you know, a Snowball, you know, the pig Snowball and the
pig
Napoleon.
The good one. The good pig.
That represents, I think, Trotsky and, you know, perhaps even a bit of Lenin, if I'm not mistaken. And then how the old pig, old major, basically a symbol of Marcus is our character, sorry, Marx, Karl Marx. Yeah, I mean, in Kandang, the character is named Marcus, old major's character is named Marcus, which is an homage to Marx. Maybe, I suppose that's a Nusantara version of Marx.
I said Trotsky, I think I meant to say it was Lenin, not Trotsky.
Yeah,
right?
I've read it's actually a bit of both. The positive idealism of communism, as opposed to, you know, the Stalinism, you know, to where it went. And that's the beauty about this thing, about Animal Farm even, you know, about how Orwell wrote it, how this positive thing, this possibility to make this idealism that could make positive change to society actually turned into something rather negative. And using the word rather is quite inappropriate because it was very,
It was negative.
Yeah, arguably very negative. Yeah.
It's kind of like saying it's a bit pregnant.
Yeah. Exactly.
What are the challenges just for actors playing animals?
Well, it's difficult to be human at the same time whilst displaying animalistic characteristics. And we have had to vary the degree of animalism with each different act, each different part of the play. Yeah.
So you don't stay as Squealer. In this play, what's the name of Squealer?
Gadding.
Gadding.
Yes.
So you don't stay as guarding the pig throughout. You get up on your feet and you are...
We're all on our feet.
But, yes.
Yeah, but...
You don't get down on all fours at all?
No. Oh. And that's also another reason why it's so challenging. Because we're supposed in one act we have to be very animalistic, but yet we are still on 2 feet. So there's a lot of human types of movement. So to keep the animalistic behavior whilst you're moving like a human is a difficult balance.
Do you want us to see the animals or do you want us to see human beings pretending or trying to evoke animals?
The audience to see the characters, really. The animals basically represent certain characteristics. And in fact, I would argue that, you know, the choice of animals in Animal Farm is, you know, it represents certain human characteristics, actually. So with that in mind, where we're going with our direction of the animalism in our actors is to extract or to find, to explore that aspect of the animal in its human form. So in that sense, it's not like, oh, I want them to see the animal like this or like that. But what are the features? What are the things about the said animal that brings out that sort of, you know, that kind of human behavior? So it's actually, we're looking at human behavior, human attributes here within the animal. Yeah.
Did you see Kochman's production?
I didn't. I missed it, which is terrible because it would have been such wonderful reference to it, you see. But I missed it. Yeah. That was
because he had his actors get down on all fours and moved, as if they were the animal itself.
But we're not going, I mean, we have physical movements and we are working with animalistic movements. I don't think we're going that distance.
Why is it called Kandang as opposed to animals would be like binatang, farm. I was asking around this morning, how would you translate farm? Then somebody said kebun. I was just thinking, kebun binatang, not quite the same thing. You know, and then somebody came up with another word.
Ladang.
Ladang, yeah. Yes. Ladang binatang.
Yeah.
Actually, that might work, you know. That might work. That might
actually, it is actually very intentional that we use kandang. Because that's the thing, I think the assumption is that the title Animal Farm would be translated literally as well. But it's the same with how, what we did with those trees. We decided to change the title to something else. What's interesting about kandang is that, let me read you the definition here, if you will. And maybe I'll leave this to you and your audiences, okay?
To decide
what the word kandang means, okay? Kandang, and this is taken from the Kamus Dewan Bahasa, edisi keempat. Kandang, definisi, satu. Tempat atau ruang berpagar dan sebagainya untuk binatang, terutamanya di malam hari. So we've got kandang lembu. So basically what it is, the first definition is...
An enclosure.
An enclosure, yeah, an enclosure.
A pen,
yes. That's exactly it. The second definition is ruang yang dikelilingi pagar, gelanggang or kalangan. Yeah, so it's basically a fenced area. Again, an enclosure, just said in a different way. And then... which also includes a pen for, it says here, kandang orang salah ruang berpagar dalam mahkamah.
Tempat like orang, a jail.
Well, not a jail. You know
orang
when,
salah,
when you're being questioned in court.
Interrogation.
What do you call that area when you're seated there as a witness?
Okay, the witness stand. A witness box, or
sometimes have to sit there. So that kandang orang salah ruang berpagar dalam mahkamah, tempat orang yang dituduh. Sewaktu dijalankan perbicaraan,
in a court case, while on trial,
you sit in the enclosure. Hmm.
Does it need to suggest there's also a roof? Because that's the other thing that came up in our in-office discussion with the word kandang. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. Kandang doesn't necessarily have a roof on top of it, but it's definitely an enclosure, a closed space where one can get stuck in. And how does one get stuck in to begin with? That depends lah. What is here? What is a kandang? What is here?
You keep looking.
No, because I think that's a good reference. What exactly do we mean by kandang? And we hope to explore that, and we hope that the audiences will come and explore that as well. Like, what is the concept of kandang? Yeah.
I'm going to ask this. We are moving through a very conservative time in the country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Conservative politically, conservative culturally, religiously.
Yes.
And we've seen all kinds of edicts being thrown at us, people in the theatre, like especially folks who are Muslims, right?
Yes.
Now you're going to have some of your actors, Malay actors, playing babes.
Babes, yes. Yes, thank you. Yes. How? I would actually read you my father's response to that.
Oh, he anticipated this question.
Because this is one of the hot questions that we get all the time. So I actually love his very, very concise... and very straight to the point response to this. I love his response to this. Because the question was basically, tak takut haram ke,
Tak
takut that we're going to get in trouble ke. Well, my father's response was very simple. He said, not at all. Pigs are part of nature and everyday life. Furthermore, in kandang, as with the original Animal Farm, they represent ideologies or attitudes that have affected the realities of human history, for better or for worse. So it's not so much, like I said earlier about where we're going with our animals. It's the characteristics of these animals. It's actually human characteristics that we sort of impose on the animals and then use them as a mirror to reflect ourselves. His response is that pigs are animals. What's to worry about? Mm-hmm. And I find that, that question, to be quite interesting as well. I understand some of us abstain from consuming its flesh. We wash it properly off if we touched it and stuff like that. That's totally understandable. But what baffles me is I wonder, as a Malay Muslim myself, why the hate? Why is this animal so vilified? Yes, we abstain from it. We have to clean ourselves if we accidentally touch it or things like that. But how do we get, from a point of practical hygiene or, arguable dietary concerns?
Regulations.
Yeah, regulations. How do we get from that to hating this animal? I don't think anywhere in the Quran or anywhere that we were taught to hate this animal, because it is an animal. Why the hate?
Dogs are also in that category sometimes.
That too. Mm. Yeah, and I found that very interesting, because I'll share this story. A friend of mine, when I was studying in college, a friend of mine from Pakistan, a Muslim as well, he asked me a very curious question. His name is Omar as well. Omar.
Talking to yourself.
Talking to myself, yeah. What is here? He asked me this really interesting question. What's your problem with dogs? I said, I don't have a problem with dogs. Well, you people, is it? Those are the words. You people. Yeah, you people hate dogs. Why is that? And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Because, he didn't get it, because he had two dogs at home. He said, yes. Yeah, you touch the saliva, whatever, you clean it, yeah. But why the hate? So that in itself is a very interesting question. Why do we vilify it so much? What's the reason behind it? So that's something that we can explore as well. The audience can explore as well as we, watch this play, hopefully.
One final thing about the translation, because this play has a lot of expressions which, if you read the novel, two legs bad, four legs good, or all animals are created equal, but some animals are created more equal. How do you translate those kinds of expressions and still have that kind of a ring to it?
Oh, okay. Well, we went through several processes of, trying out this and that for, four legs good, two legs bad. What we ended up with was empat. You want to go for it, Joe.
Really want to give it away?
It's okay.
It's so good.
No, I think it's fine. No. We have it on our trailer anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
It's empat kaki kawan, dua kaki lawan.
Oh, cool,
yeah.
cool.
And Gadding is one that teaches that to everyone.
The rhyming part of it works very well too.
Yeah, and I think the original was something like, it was a different lah, but it had a different ring to it. And then somehow we got to empat kaki kawan and dua kaki lawan, and yeah, we stuck to it.
What about this one? All animals are created equal, some animals are created more equal.
Ah, would you like to say that? Do you remember it?
Hayawan serata, tapi paling ternama.
And terms like, I have to explain as well, it's not just sudara, but it's also haiwan.
Haiwan is animal, right?
But the in Malay, it's actually haiwan.
You put haiwan. It added a syllable.
Yes, added a syllable. And then some of the reasons is because of the, for example, the principles of animalism, and if it's haiwanism, it's one syllable short.
That's haiwanism. I love that.
So to sort of keep that sort of feeling of animalism, so we added that extra syllable, haiwanism. Haiwan is actually an Arabic word anyway, and it is haiwan. It's not haiwan. Okay, I might be mistaken here, so all the Arab speakers, I apologize if I'm wrong here, but I think so, yes. I digress. Semua haiwan adalah setara, tapi sesetengah haiwan ternama lebih setara daripada yang lain. Yeah, it's a bit longer but that's one of it. But one of the things that I personally like, if I may add, is semua hayawan sama cita, sama rasa, sama rata. Yeah, all animals are equal. So again, we make it a bit longer, but I don't know, it has a nice ring to it, I think, in my opinion.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
In the era of autocratic and sometimes stupid governments,
yes.
Kandang opens this Thursday, August 10th, and runs through to Sunday, August 13th. Shows on Thursday to Saturday are at 8:30 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Sunday. The performances are in Pentas 2, and tickets are priced at 55 with concessions at 45. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.